Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Third hour starts off with a reminder that I am broadcasting live from Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I am Jim Rome. Just kind of organically became a poll question. Parody Larry, is he a jackass? Is he an idiot? And would the show be better off without him? And the reaction is kind of interesting. At Lee Harold Oswald tweets, Larry is great. Jamie7 tweets, I don't want to see Larry banned, but I do enjoy him getting run.
Do-do-do-do.
Tim502 tweets, I don't think Larry is a jackass or an idiot. I just think his calls suck. And there's a lot more where that came from. I will get to that maybe a little bit later on, but I'm more into getting to this right now. We are joined by a combat sports writer for Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli is my guest. Kevin, it's great to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you on. Kevin, lots of cover. So let me start with today's weigh-in ahead of tomorrow night's UFC 226 card and the fact that Stipe weighed in at 242.5. Daniel Cormier, Kevin, weighed in at 246. What do you make of the light heavyweight champion of the world weighing in at more than the heavyweight champion of the world?
I think the thing that struck me the most about that was the fact that how much weight Daniel Cormier is cutting to get to 205 and defend his title at light heavyweight when he does that. I mean, an insane amount of weight. But Daniel kind of hinted yesterday, somebody had asked him a question at the press conference about him giving up 20 pounds to Stipe, and he said, what? And so, you know, we kind of had an idea that he was not going to come in light.
All right, so he fell also yesterday at the media session, and there were reports that the leg had swelled up a bit. From what you've seen of him since that fall, how does he look, and do you think that's going to be any factor at all for Cormier?
No, I don't think, Jim. I don't think it's an issue. He kind of was limping around when it first happened. There were speakers behind him, and he took a step back, and he tripped over them, and he banged his shin and calf hit when he landed. And he was kind of limping around, and it could have been a lot worse than it turned out to be, you know, because he could have hit his head. But he's fine. He's walking totally fine, no side effects. So he should not be hurt in any way in the fight.
Good. Excellent. Kevin Ioli, my guest. Now, Kevin, Cormier made his UFC debut as a heavyweight, and he looked really, really good. But then he went to light heavyweight because he and Cain Velasquez did not want to be in the same division. So how different do you think Cormier will be as a heavyweight than he's been as a light heavyweight? And does he have advantages that will be even more pronounced against Stipe than against light heavyweights?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that say this, and Cormier brought it up yesterday, but that at light heavyweight, the athletes are a little bit better because they're faster, they're more explosive, you know, they're more at a natural weight. You know, you get these heavyweights and they get up to, you know, 265, 270, and then they're cutting down, you know, so, you know, Francis Ngannou's 253, he's probably weighing 275, 280 between, you know, and so you're cutting down to get to that. So those athletes are better at 205. So there's some thought that, you know, you're facing tougher opposition at light heavyweight than you are at heavyweight. Now, that doesn't include Stipe Miocic, who is one of the great athletes in the world. I mean, this guy can do everything. You know, I think one of the most memorable things of his title reign is in 2016, after he beat Fabricio Werdum, he goes home to Cleveland. The Indians invite him out to batting practice, and he hits a home run over the left field wall at Progressive Field. I mean, it just shows the kind of athletic ability this guy has.
We're talking to Kevin Ioli. All right, so if he's that much, and by the way, he might be the greatest heavyweight in UFC history. If you're Stipe, what concerns you the most about Cormier?
His wrestling ability. I mean, Daniel is an Olympic level wrestler, and while Stipe was a terrific college wrestler, the highest he was ranked was 17. And his MMA wrestling, I think, is better than his college wrestling. But you know, Daniel has the ability to get him down, and Daniel's a great grappler. You know, I think clearly Stipe is going to have the advantage on the feet. He's got a big reach. He's got a big height advantage. He was a Golden Gloves boxer. He lost in the national tournament to Brian Jennings, who fought for the boxing heavyweight title against Klitschko. So he's a guy that, you know, is a very good boxer. You know, Daniel is a good striker, but not a great striker, but his wrestling. So I think what Stipe would have to worry about is, you know, being taken down and kind of mauled on the ground.
All right, so Kevin, I talked to Daniel yesterday, and we, of course, talked about the fact that styles make fights and that their styles actually on some level are pretty similar. How do you see this fight going?
Well, I think it's going to be a very simple fight. I think Stipe is going to want to create angles and try to load up to throw that right hand and hit Daniel with something and hurt him. I think Daniel is going to want to make sure that he moves away from that, you know, that right hand and shoot in a takedown. I mean, I think Daniel has to mix things up a lot more than Stipe is going to do, because he's got to create that moment of indecision where Stipe doesn't know, is he going to throw a punch or is he going to shoot on me? And I think that's the key thing for Daniel. But I think, you know, it's going to be a very tactical fight, but they're going to be both winging bombs at each other. And the key is going to be, can Daniel get in deep and get that takedown? Can he double leg him? Can he get him to the ground and put him on his back? And if he can repeatedly do that early in the fight, then I think that changes the entire dramatic of the fight the rest of the way, because it's going to force Stipe to change the way he approaches Daniel.
I love that matchup. Kevin Ioli joining us. All right, Kevin, yesterday also brought the news that Max Holloway had to pull out of UFC 226 because of concussion-like symptoms. That featherweight title fight against challenger Brian Ortega had a lot of buzz around it. So how disappointed are you, purely as a fan, not to have that fight?
Oh, I mean, hugely disappointed. You're talking two of the best fighters in the world. I mean, any weight class, Ortega and Holloway, are tremendous fighters. And that fight was going to be spectacular. I think that would have been the best fight on the card. Fortunately, this is one of those cards where top to bottom, it was a sensational fight. They on the main card, they replaced Ortega and Holloway with Paul Felder and Mike Perry. That fight could have been on the main card to begin with. I mean, that's how good of a fight that was. But it's really sad. And, you know, I had an interview with Dana White last night, Jim, and one of the things he said about Max is there's some evidence that it's concussion-related. There's some evidence that it was weight cut-related. But he said there's also a thought that maybe Max had water intoxication. And so he discussed that a little bit, and that's a very serious issue too. So they're still doing tests on Max to try to figure out exactly what's going on.
Well, that's really interesting. And since you spoke to Dana White, what was your sense of his take on Ortega's decision not to take a replacement fight?
Well, I'll tell you this. I had an appointment to talk to Dana, and I was waiting at the Palms to talk to him, and I waited about an hour because Brian Ortega showed up and went in and they talked. And so I got a chance to ask Dana right afterwards, and he thought it was a mistake by Brian. He thought, you know, hey, you don't get a lot of opportunities, and it would have been a championship fight, and Brian would have had the belt had he beaten Jeremy Stephens. And, you know, that has always been Dana's philosophy. I hit him with, I said, let's play the devil's advocate. What does losing this fight hurt the show? You're still got a great show, Lewis and Ngannou in the co-main event, the heavyweight title fight everybody's buzzing about. It's a deep card. There's a lot of good fights on the card. And there was nothing to gain by Brian fighting Jeremy, because, you know, I wrote a piece earlier in the year saying how much improved Jeremy was and how dangerous he had become. He's a big dude. There's a chance he might not have made weight. And even if he made weight, you know, he was going to have a decided size advantage. He's got a totally different style. How does that benefit Brian on 48 hours notice to now have to, everything he prepared for in camp kind of change his footwork, change his thought process? To me, I think it was just a tough ask.
Kevin Ioli joining us. Kevin, before you go, I really want to ask you about Ronda Rousey because she was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame yesterday. You've covered the fight game for a long, long time. Have you ever seen anybody with a career arc like the one Ronda had in the cage? I mean, that absolutely amazing rise and then the subsequent incredible fall.
It's totally stunning, and I've never seen that before. You always see signs in people, hey, they're starting to slow down, and even when they win, you know, they're not winning as impressively, and there's signs they're getting hit more. Ronda, you know, you think her last three fights, she won, what was it, 16 seconds against Alexis Davis, 14 seconds against Catherine Gano, and then a minute and a half against Betch Kohea, and it's like she's at the top of her game, and then she gets routed by Holly Holm. She gets routed even worse by Amanda Nunes. I've never seen it before. I actually spent quite a bit of time talking to Dana about that yesterday, and if he could put his finger on it. And the only thing he offered for her was, you know, she got so big celebrity-wise that was really hurting her. But it was amazing how she kind of fell off the face of the earth. I mean, it was just, you know, this great fighter, untouchable fighter, and then all of a sudden, you know, she was a punching bag. It was amazing.
I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, like you said, you put it to Dana, and Dana said maybe it's because of the celebrity and she lost focus. But, I mean, how do you explain that fall and the fact that she simply could not come back from it?
You know what I think is, like, if I picked Ronda to beat Holly Holm, so I don't want to, you know, sit here and now say I thought Holly was going to win. But I told people when I was asked before that, they said, make a case for Holly. I said, well, if you look at Ronda's fight with Sarah McMahon, Sarah McMahon is a wrestler, not noted as a striker. And she hit Ronda with a number of clean shots, but Ronda was able to take the shots, get into the clinch, and finish the fight quickly. And I think the thought process was going to be against Holly that's what would happen. Holly had the better striking, but Ronda would close the distance, eat a punch or two, get in the clinch, and either armbar or do something to finish the fight. And I think once she got hit and wasn't able to close the distance, I think she lost confidence. I mean, what you saw in the Amanda Nunes fight with Ronda Rousey was a fighter who had no confidence in her abilities. And that was the antithesis of what Ronda had been throughout her career, as she oozed confidence and she believed that she could beat anybody. You remember famously when she said, somebody asked her if she thought she could beat Cain Velasquez, and she said, I'll never say I can't do anything.
No, exactly right, Kevin. And I also think that, I mean, Amanda was one, I mean, I should say Ronda was one of those people, like, where she had that confidence where she had beaten opponents before they even got in the cage with her, the way Mike Tyson did way back in the day. But it's one thing to lose to Holly Holm, but then she came back against Amanda Nunes a year later and actually looked worse. How do you explain that? Was it just that her confidence was gone or something else?
I think the confidence was mostly it, but I think, you know, her camp never... You know, they were, like, I remember her camp for Betch Kohea and talking to Edmund, her trainer, Edmund Gerardian, and he was telling me, oh, she's beating the crap out of world champion boxers. And I said, well, who are these boxers? And it turned out they were, like, you know, not world champion. They were 5-0 and 6-0 boxers. And, you know, I don't think that they ever really turned Ronda into a striker. And so her grappling was so good that she overcame her striking deficiencies. And like you said, it was very well documented in her career. She intimidated people and they were so worried about the armbar that, you know, they couldn't perform themselves. And I think, you know, Holly gave a game plan. Amanda then believed, you know, Amanda told everybody before what she was going to do, and then she went out and did it. And I think Ronda did not have the confidence in herself, and I think it was she was never developed as a striker, and so she never added to her skills in that department. And when she went in against a woman who was one of the best strikers in the world, she realized, I think, that she was short and didn't have any other bullets in the gun to fire.
Right. Kevin Ioli, my guest. Kevin, one last thought, and maybe it's a reach, and I'm not even saying that I'm making this reach, but I'll pose it as a question. Then you've got Conor McGregor, right? And, like, for instance, Ronda went from living in her car to being the face of the sport and a gigantic celebrity. Conor went from being a plumber's apprentice to also being the face of the sport and a gigantic celebrity. Now, when he met with adversity in the cage, he bounced right back. But is there a chance that this thing could completely spin out of control from Conor and that we don't see him again? And much like Ronda, maybe he's never anywhere near what he used to be and, in fact, have a great fall from grace himself?
I think Conor lives to fight. Now, I question whether he will fight again, but if he does, Jim, I believe he will be successful. Not to say he's going to win every fight he takes. You know, I think a fight with Khabib is going to be a very difficult matchup for him. But I think, you know, that you're not going to see him get beaten the way Ronda did in her last two fights and then go away. But I still question, because I know Dee Devlin, his significant other, the mother of his child, does not like him fighting. And now the guy's got over $100 million in the bank. He was fourth on the Forbes list this year. He was eighth last year, even before the Mayweather fight, for highest earners. He's got a ton of money in the bank. He doesn't need to do it. And your motivation is a lot different when you don't need to do it. And so I question whether he'll get in, because he understands the fight game so well. And I think he's so astute. He'll see what happened to Ronda. And if he realizes if his intensity is not there and his desire is not there, he's not going to fight. And my guess would be still that I don't think he fights.
Huh. So one last thought. If he does, though, if he fights Khabib, how do you think that would go?
I would favor Khabib in the fight. I would not say it would be a slam dunk win for Khabib, but I think Khabib's grappling is too good. I mean, you know, he's got elite level wrestling. I mean, very, very high level wrestling to get Conor to the ground. Certainly Ally Aquinta showed that, you know, Khabib has some work to do on the feet, and Conor is a great striker and has great kicks. But, you know, you would think that the kicks would be difficult against somebody like Khabib, because the threat of a takedown, if you try a kick and he catches that kick, you're in big trouble. And so I think, you know, I would favor Khabib to get a submission in the fight. But I would not discount Conor, but I would definitely favor Khabib.
A combat sports writer for Yahoo Sports, one of the best in the business and covering a whole lot of ground. Kevin Ioli, my guest. Kevin, great job as always. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for calling. See you.
Always like talking to you, Kevin. Covered a lot of ground there. All right, we're open phones the rest of the way. Any topic is fair game, and I've got some more that I can put out there for you. We got to talk smack off. We have to talk smack off. How about a profile? Smack off participant profile of a guy who won the event, but not in a long, long time. Also open phones. Alvy's critical 2 days that were coming up also. ATP coming up. Still ahead. We had Lee Jenkins. We had Ice Cube. We had Kevin Ioli. Been a really good day today. Come right back. Getting maximum performance out of anything depends on exactly what you put into anything. As an example, if you want to achieve maximum performance at work, you got to put in the extra effort. When you want maximum performance with your kids, from your kids, you put in the extra time and tools. And then when you want maximum performance from your vehicle, you drop in Castrol Edge. I learned this a while back. Castrol Edge. It's the titanium strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller. They're more powerful. They operate at higher pressures than ever before. The pressure in the engine is higher than ever before, and that causes significant stress on the oil. Therefore, the oil needs to be strong. It needs to stay strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology. What that does is it helps reduce friction. It helps to maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. I would never crack open a mic and just say that. Just spit that out. I've got proof. Proof in the form of the Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban. Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Viz grade. I'm telling
Kurt
you.
Orban.
Orban is the man. If Orban says so, it is so. The Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Viz grade. I'm telling you, it's in my car. It's in both of our cars. I love it. Put it in your vehicle today. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Just chilling. Just hanging out. Just riffing. Banging some tunes. 2018's flying by, right? It's already July 6th, which is scary as hell. You probably had a good first half. You want to make sure you have a great second half. You want to make this the best year ever. Let me shout out to contractors for a minute. Builders, remodelers, even if you're not one of the three, it is possible for you to elevate your game for the rest of the year. And you can do so by checking in with my pals at Lumber Liquidators. They're doing something different this year. They've got a brand new LL. Pro Plus program. What LL Pro Plus is, Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team. You can call on for all your professional flooring needs. They're the experts, the specialists. LL Pro Plus will help you get it done. They'll help you crush it. And they do so because they have professional pricing, dedicated support, and they'll get you what you need when you need it most. That's another way of my saying they're going to help you get all your projects finished on time. It gives you the ultimate value and quality. And with LL Pro Plus, it really doesn't matter what kind of job we're talking about. It doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small. What you want to do is take the flooring experts from Lumber Liquidators, put them on your team today. You can do so by walking into your local Lumber Liquidators store. There's probably one nearby. Or if you want, go online, lumberliquidators.com. Lumberliquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever. And let my pals at Lumber Liquidators help you with that. Have you seen that match play, winner take all, 10 mil throwdown with El Gato and El Hefty? You've seen this, right? It's insane. I want to hit that in a minute. I've been sitting on that one. I want to get to it before the end of the day. However, and I always say this, I said it yesterday, there's not a bigger D-bag move in the world than cutting a line. It's a reason to go. There aren't that many reasons to go. Cutting the line is a reason to go. Except here in the jungle, I let people cut the line. I let them cut the line if they're a noted caller. I let them cut the line if I think they'll make the show better. But most of all, I let them cut the line if they've won the smack off. And I let them cut the line if I think I can get an RSVP to the next smack off. In other words, I'm going to let this guy cut the line. I like this guy. I know this guy. He's been calling the show for 20 plus years. He goes way back. He's SoCal. He reps the HB. In other words, there's nothing not to like about this guy. So instead of me talking about El Gato and El Hefty, let's go to the bra. Huntington Beach. Silk bra. Yo, bra, what's up? How are the swells?
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing, buddy? Hey, listen, having won the smack off myself years ago, I got to weigh in and say that Larry Parody's calls is probably one of the greatest calls that I've ever heard. Come on. That's
not a good call. No. You don't like. All right, so what was the first dead giveaway that was not silk bra and I got hooked again? First of all, the most amazing thing was that guy actually pulled that in a smack off. He hooked me in the smack off once. It's not Larry Parody. It's Parody Larry. And the second you say Jimmy, I know it's not Silk. Silk doesn't say Jimmy.
Bruh.
But of course, the other dead giveaway is the come on.
Come on.
Run that back again, Albie. Was there anybody anywhere who thought this really was silk bra? Except for me. But again, why did I think so? Because that jackass Hawk screened the call. I just took the call. I wouldn't even know it was that guy. But if you watch my reaction on CBS Sports Network, you could tell within 1/1,000th of 1 second that I knew that was not the real bra. Yo, bra, what's up? How are the swells?
Hey, Jimmy, how you right doing, there, buddy? Hey, listen, having won the smack off myself years ago, I got to weigh in and say that Larry Parody's calls is probably one of the greatest calls I've ever heard. Come on.
I just have to say, he goes, having won the smack off myself, like he established his credibility. Having won the smack off myself, I just want to say that Larry Parody's calls are some of the best I've ever heard. Come on. Dude, come on. I got to be straight. Fake Silk. Dude, you sound nothing like him. And I'm not coming from a place of I do a great impression because I don't. But, dude, you sound nothing like him. You sound more like Jeff in Richmond than you do Silk at this point. So, dude, if you're going to come into this show and do what you do and pretend to be Silk and be the fake Silk, you better sound like Silk, and you sound less and less and less like Silk. Come on.
Come on.
At least we don't have the fake Silk calling anymore, just the fake Silk. Hooked again. Hey, Hawk, that was funny a couple of times, but it's not anymore. Stop putting that guy on and telling me it's Silk when it's not Silk. That guy sounds nothing like Silk.
Larry Perry.
Yeah, can you do something on the fly? I know that this is a big Friday and you have to do the 2 days that were. Can you give me sound of the actual Silk? And can you run it up against, alongside, the fake Silk? I want to point out how absurd this guy is that he calls and pretends to be Silk. Because at this point, all he has is the come on, which sounds even less like Silk. Now, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can't see it, but I can. I've got multiple boxes. I can see a box of the real Alvy efforting furiously to set this thing up. Dude's going to knock over that coffee any second now, like I've done. There's nothing worse than knocking coffee into a laptop. You never get it out. Never, ever get it out. I once had this oven that was the stupidest thing ever. I had an oven, a legitimate oven, that was also a microwave oven. Don't ask me why that is. It just was. So unlike a microwave oven with a flat surface, I stuck a cup of coffee on the grill of the oven to reheat because for some reason this oven was our microwave oven. Brand new house, brand new appliance. First thing I did was try to reheat a cup of coffee. Of course, it spilled over because it was on the grate, not a flat surface. The entire time we had that house, I never got the smell of coffee out of that oven. Man, I was pissed. All right, Alvin, real Silk?
I know you always like to get a preview of my weekend, Brass, so I'll let you know. There's some swell pushing in for this weekend, so I've already surfed and been to the gym this morning.
All right, so that's what I said when I said, how are the swells? They're pushing in this weekend. I've already surfed and been to the gym. That's the real Silk. The fake Silk. Tell me if this guy sounds anything like the real Silk.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing, buddy? Hey, listen, having won the smack off myself years ago, I got to weigh in and say that Larry Parody's calls is probably one of the greatest calls I've ever heard. Come on.
Larry Parody. Larry Parody. You mean like Richmond Jeff? Really quickly, real Silk?
I know you always like to get a preview of my weekend, Brad.
Fake
so
Silk.
I'll let you.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, buddy?
He sounds nothing like him.
Hey,
it's
Jimmy,
getting worse.
How you doing?
I mean, the first time I ever heard that, I'm like, kind of, not really. Now when I hear that, it's like, not at all. Not at all. Dude, it's getting more and more absurd. Is that part of your shtick, to sound as little as you can like that guy?
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Bruh.
The catchphrase isn't even right.
Bruh.
Hey, Alvin, do we have any audio of real Silk at any point saying, quote, come on? Look that up. Hey, Stucknut. Steve, get off your ass. Steve, is there any sound in the history of the show, anywhere existing, of Silk saying, come on.
Come on.
All right, Hawk. Hawk, get your ass. I mean, you're literally fired if that's not what this is. You're literally fired if that's not what this is. Hawk says to me that the real Silk is now on line one. Straight up, Hawk. I would confirm that, double confirm that, triple confirm that. You will be in the street, on your head, and old Ross behind you will have your gig if this is not what you say it is. Ross from Friends will have your gig. We go to the real Silk. Line one. Brah, is it you?
Brah, come on.
Now I've got audio of it. Now it's in existence. Dude, what do you think when you hear that guy call up is the fake Silk and drop, come on?
Okay, Brad, you want me to pull back the curtain a little bit, give you some inside the show, Brad?
I really do. Give me some inside baseball. Let me have it.
The smack off where he impersonated me the first time, my wife and I, that's why I wasn't in the smack off that year. I didn't call. My wife and I were in Honduras. We were on a little island called Roatan in the Caribbean. But they got Wi-Fi, of course. So I'm like, hun, I hate to break it to you on my vacation, but we're going to listen to smack off. And she's like, yeah, of course, man. She's been to a couple of tour stops. So we're listening to it, and we both looked at each other, and we're like, for the first few seconds, I'm like, that kind of sounds like me. He's pretty good. But, yeah, like most clones, they run out of steam real easy, bro. But, yeah, he even hooked me. I'm like, I'm calling?
And you are.
You know what I said to my wife? I said, brah. Alvy, brah, brah, brah,
brah. So, like, was that the ultimate?
Silk. He's,
Was it the ultimate flattery?
There's a fake Silk on Twitter, but I don't think it's the same guy, you know. There's like a cottage industry of impersonating me. But listen, bro, I'm in full recovery mode. You know how we go ham on the 4th in Huntington Beach, bro. It was epic. There is a big swell hitting this weekend, too. So I had to get my body right before I could get out there so I don't drown.
Silk, really quickly, do not hang up. I want you, and that you do go ham. I mean, Huntington Beach is legendary for how hard people go. For those who do not know, what's the 4th like in HB?
Okay, so we've got the oldest parade in the Western U.S., and it's kind of corny, but it's not. It's really fun. It's low budget. So, like, they get some classic cars out there. They throw a few people in the back. Our local guy, I know a guy you love, dude, Dallas Rains, our weather guy, you know. Of course, his name is Dallas Rains, but he's in it. Marching bands. We've got lots of vets. It's real cool. First responders. We've got the Indian guides, and they paint faces. So it goes up Main Street in Huntington, and the law blocks off all of downtown, so you can't drive around. You can only ride bikes, and everybody on Main Street. So Main Street, for most of it, when it gets near the pier, it's businesses and stuff. But before that, it's just a neighborhood with people's houses right on there. So people the night before camp out and chalk the ground and rope off. And every house is a party. My buddy Kent, bro, he just blows it out, full bar, catered, kids. It's super fun. But you go all day, bro. And it's this 4th was awesome because it was sunny, it was hot. But it's really, really fun. It's a great kind of local thing where Huntington Beach still, it's more recently.
Yeah, but dude, you're like the tourism board. Feel. I mean, you're laying it out like it's really nice. I'm talking about how and when does it go down? How and when does it get hardcore?
Okay. All right. You want to go behind the scenes again? All right. So the night before, got all the booze in the cooler, got it lined up.
Hey, so guess what? You're out of time. Now you're done. Bro, I asked you a question just to answer the question next time. Now New York's all bent out of shape because we went way too heavy. HB is legendary for how hard it goes. Like Hawk lives not that far from there. He would not come out of his house even. Of course, Hawk, man, you get beaten down walking around with that porn stash and that cat tat. Dude, you wouldn't survive 5 minutes in HP on the 4th. Time now for a sports update. In New York, my significant, sincere. ATP is coming up momentarily. Remember, the ATP is the Ask the Pros question, and it is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alvin's critical, all-important 2 days that were is coming up momentarily. Hey, Alvin, if that thing is normally like 4 minutes, roughly 4 minutes, am I to assume that it's going to be a minute 45? Or can you get 4.5 minutes out of it? Are you ready to roll that thing yet? Or do you need more time? I am efforting an ATP. I'm going to buy a few more moments to find the best ATP by rolling the best 2 days that were as edited by Alvin DeLauro.
What up, Band Smash?
Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A very good Thursday morning to you. I am Jim Rome. So how many of you thought that I was going to take the entire week off? All of you? Not me, because you know I grind hard. LeBron James is a Los Angeles Laker.
This is not for you.
The best player in the game chose to be a Laker, and that hasn't happened in a very long time. And love him or hate him, do not tell me you're not watching this because you are. You know you are.
Let's talk about Kawhi Baby Leonard.
Kawhi not!
So Frenchie, Tony Parker.
Ms. Parker?
Hurt your feelings. You don't deserve to play near the Alamo, Kawhi.
Daniel Cormier, how much would it mean to you to prove that you've earned that title as well?
Oh, Tim, that would be crazy. I'm a big boxing guy. Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis. The heavyweight boxing champ was regarded as the baddest man on the planet. Can't say that anymore. The baddest man on the planet is the UFC heavyweight champion.
In fact, this is your talk show. You take it over. Culver City. Des Moines. Lemon Grove. Is this on? Does anybody have a pulse out there? It's your show. You take it over.
And I was worried that Joey Nutt was going to have a third-degree blowout on stage.
I mean, I've experienced a mudslide, and all you can do is deposit your briefs behind the toilet bowl.
I'm not going to elaborate. I'm not going to spend any time on that. You know why he got run?
That punk Rex won't call our station. We'll spit out his bones. That's not how we roll in Albuquerque. We don't want some creep.
Cousins, what's good?
DeMarcus Cousins agreed to a one-year deal with the Golden State Warriors.
Fat boy, how many you got,
NBA
baby?
NBA Twitter lost its collective mind. Golden State built this monster legitimately, playing by the same rules as everybody else. They're just better. They're just smarter. Jarvis Landry, how good can this team be? I mean, does it feel like a potential playoff team?
Man, for me personally, man, I train to win the Super Bowl every year. Hopefully that culture shift that's happening right now in the locker room, that begins to be the mindset of every player. And before you know it, you look and it's going to be January. Cleveland Browns will still be around.
Email.
Got a new nerd? Who's the new member of the XR4TI? I do not have a new nerd. I got temporary nerd. Except the guy's not a nerd, man. He's just step right in off the street. He's killing it. And now you clones are.
Can't wait to rip apart the new guy. Don't do
you
it.
Better don't.
Isaiah Pete joining us. And he says, quote, man, you could go to the Paralympics. So what was that moment like?
That was cool. It was good. Right? Because that's what we do. You know, we talk it up at that moment. Yet I was still trying to get out of this wheelchair and get standing up. So the fact that he even shouted it out, it was like, oh, man, we're on the same page.
I'm looking on the bright side here. People know me as this fluke who lost his ticket and got replaced in the snack-off field, but at least I'm not Luke Walton, who just got replaced by his new power forward.
That's what I just did there. I took away a ticket that he didn't have. That's how bad that was. How the hell I ever gave that guy a ticket to begin with? Lauren.
The whole thing about Mona, just want to throw out an apology about that.
Hi there.
I know I can beat Mona in the I'm going to tear her ticket up. I'll tell you that much. Kelly's head kind of looks like the warped wall from the American Ninja Warrior.
Looks like a big ass thumb with hair.
I know I can do this, and I know I can run all day. Not run all day. I want to be racked.
Kawhi! Kawhi! Hiding from your team. Quick, man, get him out of here. Hey, Kawhi. There's a broom closet, man. Just stay there till they leave.
Kawhi, no!
Kawhi and his advisors couldn't look much worse if it is true. That is straight whack.
That's whack.
Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated.
Do you buy that report?
Yeah, I do. I do buy it. It's a great reporter and somebody who's well-sourced in that organization. So, no, I totally buy it because it's not a strong personality, and it's not a big communicator.
Alfa Romeo, how's it going?
Twitter!
You might have wondered what happened to Ross from Friends. He's filling in this week.
What's up, Ross?
We were
man,
on
how the mighty have fallen. Bro, didn't you used to make $1 million an episode with all the other knobs on Friends?
Hey,
damn, what's next? Is Chandler going to screen calls? We go to parody. Smack Larry.
Jumping for your favorite Sparrow. So I guess that gimmicky big ears bitch is going to start working on a new angle if he wants
Stick your horrible parodies. Good guy, bad call. Ice Cube is my guest.
You know, we already know what LeBron is going to do, but, you know, what are the other guys going to do? You know, that's why I think Magic brought in players that wasn't necessarily just going to bow down to how LeBron was.
Slicing your nose and moving it to another part of your face is not reinventing. It's getting carved. Yo, bro, what's up? How are the swells?
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, buddy? Larry parodies calls, probably one of the greatest calls I've ever heard. Come on.
You've turned into the Pet Rock.
I don't root for anybody or anything except that you'll stop emailing.
Yeah, I just ate a big-ass bowl of Honey Smack.
You're as sharp as a spoon.
Don't talk to me, all right?
Knock it off.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me again.
Carson City.
Like an undie.
I love you, Romy.
It's always good to talk to you, Jim, man. Thank you so much. Eat a punch or two.
Bruh.
Come on.
Good night.
Now. Where's the now? How did that get clipped? Let me tell you something. You go back, you do that whole thing again, you do it right. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. We don't half-ass things around here. You go back and you re-rack that, and you rerun that, and you end that the way it was supposed to be ended with a now. When did anybody ever say, good night? Waiting, Alvin. ATP, Phil in Missouri says, hey, Jim, I finally got around to watching all the bowling on my DVR that I recorded off of CBS Sports Network. It was awesome. I know that you're far from bowling guy, but what is the best game that you ever rolled? Phil, first of all, what do you mean you know that I'm far from bowling guy? I used to bowl in a league, several leagues. I have a perfect game to my credit. It was on Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills at the Woodlake Bowl back in the day. It was incredible. Janet was there. The place was going nuts. It was league sanctioned. You can look it up. Well, actually, you can't look it up like you can Alvin on YouTube because it was prior to the advent of cell phones. You can't YouTube that. But if you look for the proper documentation in the Bowling Library of Congress, you will see that I, in fact, rolled a perfect game. Lane conditions, everything sanctioned. Wood Lake Bowl. I'm trying to think of, like, Bobby's Cafe was across the street. How do I know that? Because we went across the street to celebrate that perfect game.
No!
Bobby bought me a meal, allegedly. Then we went to Blinky's Donuts for dessert. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, listen up, because Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that allows you, the pro, exclusive deals, services for all of your professional flooring needs. Put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidators store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. Big day. Lee Jenkins, Ice Cube, Kevin Ioli. Good job, XR4TI. Clones, thanks for tuning in. Have an amazing weekend, and I'll be back here on Monday.